Welcome to Move Wild Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Clapson. The aim of this podcast is to explore, learn, and spread the message of rewilding and natural movement so that we as humans can live in more alignment with our nature and reclaim what it means to be fully alive. The modern world has stripped away so much that used to nourish our mind, body, and soul. This podcast will help illuminate how we can reclaim and restore our innate, wild, capable, and strong spirit. Thanks for joining me on this journey. Hey guys, and welcome in to another episode of Move Wild Podcast. So today I am sharing with you all a live video that I did in my test group for a new online course that I'm running, and I shared a lot on recovery and kind of all the things around recovery. So I'm sharing that with you guys today, the audio version of that. So I'm excited to see what you guys think of that. The online course is going to be coming out soon, which is very exciting, focused around ground movement and developing the foundational strength required to progress in all other areas of capability, mobility, and strength. So let's jump into today's episode. Catch me on the other side for how you can connect with me. All right. Hey guys, and welcome to today's live. So today I wanted to talk to you guys about overtraining, recovery, rest, and optimal kind of recovery protocols. So a bit of practical, a bit of philosophical as always. Starting off with just overtraining and recovery from a philosophical standpoint, and how to avoid it, how to avoid overtraining, and how to incorporate in recovery to our practices, and how to see it as a part of our training. So I believe the training and recovery are on the same spectrum and should be talked about as almost kind of inseparable components, and they are literally just the polar opposites on this spectrum of human movement and expression and human performance in many ways, because recovery doesn't just apply to training, it doesn't just apply to physicality, it also applies to mentally, emotionally, socially, and all these different elements of our lives. It's not simply a training kind of contextualized conversation, but it will be focused on that in today's live, because that is what we're all going through. We're going through movement training and developing strength and coordination and stability in our bodies. So that's what I'm going to talk about today. So to start off with overtraining and how to identify when we are overtraining and when we need to recover, and then I'm going to go into recovery, and then I'm going to go into some recovery protocols. So overtraining is, you know, one of those things that can be hard to identify for some people, can be easy to identify for other people. Probably none of you, if you're solely doing the videos in this test group, in this course, are going to be overtraining, although that is dependent on your level of conditioning and your level of fitness at the moment. But it is a good concept to understand. It is good to be able to read the obvious signs that your body is telling you that we sometimes ignore, and maybe perhaps the more subtle signs that our body and our minds are telling us but are easy to ignore. So the obvious signs are inflammation, stiffness, a mental avoidance of training, tiredness in training, inability to focus mentally on a movement, and your body, like the obvious signs that we're so well conditioned in our society and we're so well conditioned in our modern world to kind of ignore obvious signs, whether that's in training or whether that's in health or whether that's in, you know, whatever it is that we're doing. We are very, very well conditioned, I believe, anyway, in many parts of our lives to ignore these obvious signs that our physiology and our biology and our body is telling us. So an obvious sign might literally be that you don't want to train on a specific day, but we are kind of told through, you know, the modern fitness industry perpetuates this message that we need to push through that, and we need to push through the resistance, and certainly there is a time to push through resistance, but more often than not there's a reason that our nervous system and our physiology is telling us not to train or not to do a specific thing. It's because we don't feel ready or comfortable with it, and there's certain ways that we can move around that, which I'm going to touch on in the recovery protocols
and talking about active rest and active recovery and how we can start to shift that mindset of kind of black and white, where it's like, you know, resistance and training, where mentally we're being told or we're given a signal that we're not supposed to train, but we're ignoring that. So that's one of the obvious signs, is just mentally, do you want to train? Are you inclined to train? And if you're not, you know, obviously you don't always have to listen to this. Obviously on a certain level, there's going to be times where you're going to feel resistance and you're going to have to push past resistance. But on another level, maybe you need to be asking yourself a deeper question of, is the movement or the training I'm doing actually beneficial to me? If my mind is giving me such a strong signal that I don't want to train, maybe I need to try something else. Or if my mind is giving me such a strong signal that I don't want to train, maybe I've been overtraining and maybe I've been doing this for too long and I just need to rest and I just need to recover for a day, and tomorrow I'll be ready to get back into it, or the day after tomorrow. So obviously mental resistance is one of the biggest obvious signs that a lot of people ignore. Second is inflammation. So if you've got, you know, inflammation in your body where you feel inflamed, you feel uncomfortable, you feel stiff, you feel like you're not perhaps moving well, it's hard for you to, you know, mobilize your body. You know, part of that is going to be lifestyle, and that's going to be sleep, nutrition, all these different elements. But sometimes it's going to be the fact that you've been overtraining and you need to recover. I know this is a big one for me, and I struggle with overtraining and recovery and balancing those two things a lot, or I have in my past, because I love movement so much and I love pushing myself and I love challenging myself physically through physical training. And it's so often there'll be times where I feel inflammation in my body and I'll blame it on other lifestyle factors, but then I'll take a day or two off of training and recover, and then my body feels totally uninflamed and totally fine. So many times it can be an obvious sign, can be inflammation, and an obvious sign can be that's an obvious sign that you need to perhaps recover and take some days off from intense or intentional training. Another obvious sign is pain, physical pain. So if you've got muscle soreness, if you've got, you know, stiffness, if you've got literal pain from an injury, then those are all great signs that you probably shouldn't be training. So those are the obvious signs. More subtle ones are going to be you can't focus properly in outside of your training or within your training. So if you've got a training session where, you know, the movements that you're performing are complex or they require mental focus, and you can't give your time, if you can't conjure up mental energy to be able to focus on those things, or even outside of your training within your work, if you're mentally just drained and you can't focus on things and you don't have that mental sharpness and readiness to jump into work or to jump into whatever it is that you need to focus on in the moment, then that can be a subtle sign that you're overtraining. Again, that could be other things, that could be diet, that could be sleep. Like, so it's, you know, never think that it's just overtraining, but these are subtle signs that you could be overtraining. Another one is slight or mild depression, or slight or mild kind of like, again, low energy and fatigue. So that's a subtle sign that a lot of people don't pick up on because they blame it on other things. They blame it on, you know, I could be feeling depressed or slightly anxious or slightly stressed out because of this, that, and the other. But in reality, it could be, you know, you're feeling slightly anxious or stressed because your cortisol is spiking because you've been training too much and you're in a stress state and your physiology is like, hang on a minute, like, why, you know, why am I under this much stress? You think ancestrally and evolutionarily, why would you be under the amount of stress that you're putting yourself through if you're training chronically? Well, you're probably in a very stressed environment and you're in an environment that's not ideal for you to be thriving or procreating or doing the thing, you know, celebrating life essentially. So your body is going to spike cortisol, it's going to spike adrenaline, it's going to put a bunch of stress hormones in you so that you can overcome whatever environment that you're in that's putting you under that much stress. And then that perpetuates the cycle of training more because your cortisol is spiking, so you want to train more. So understanding that cycle, and understanding that that could be, you know, the cause of underlying stress or anxiety or worry or depression, even if you're, you know, and fatigue. So if you've been training too much, that can, you know, mess up in many ways your neurotransmitter production and release and the modulation of all that. And if you're training too much, then you can experience mild symptoms of depression. or fatigue, and you don't really have the motivation to do a lot of things, those can be all subtle signs of overtraining. But again, you know, understand that that's within the greater context of lifestyle. I'm going to go into that in a moment. What are some recovery protocols and tips that I can give you guys? So next is what I want to touch on the still on the philosophical kind of side of things. So we touched on overtraining. I wanted to touch on recovery and what the definition I think recovery is, and it should be, and that you know, why it's often overlooked. So recovery is one of those things that kind of it's a word that's thrown around a lot in the health and fitness industry, but it's not really fully honored. It's almost one of those things that people use, and they say it along with, like, if you have time, almost like if you have time to recover, then do so, but if you don't really worry about it. Or it's not one of those things that's really emphasized or given the emphasis and value that I believe it should truly have when we consider what it does for us in our training and in our performance. So recovery enables performance, and it enables the gain of strength and fitness and capability and skill and all these different areas of our training. It enables all of those things mentally as well, if we're challenging our mind or emotionally or socially or on any of these levels. Recovery is part of the process. So first we have to go out and train and demand that we adapt to something. So that could be that we're doing the movements that we're doing right now, or that could be that you're going for a run, is an example that I like to use a lot. So the specific adaptation or the specific demand that you're imposing on your body to adapt to is the run. So you can run, but there has to be some process of recovery, meaning you stop running in order for your body to fully adapt to that movement. Otherwise you never adapt to it. And if you don't give yourself adequate recovery, or if you don't give yourself enough recovery, you'll never fully adapt to being able to run well, or you'll never fully adapt to have the level of fitness and conditioning and strength required to run properly and perform at your best. So the ideal definition of recovery is that recovery not only enables you to do those things, but it actually enhances your performance when you come back to them. A lot of people are living in a paradigm where their recovery is so low that either their performance is maintained, which is not ideal, right? If you went for a 10-kilometer run, you want to be able to next time be able to go to 12 kilometers and then to, you know, so on and so forth. And you want to be able to progress, and you want to see that your conditioning and your fitness and your performance is getting better. For most people, their recovery protocol either maintains their current level, so like they run for 10 kilometers, they have just the bare minimum of recovery so that they're able to run for 10 kilometers again, or it actually degrades their performance so that over time they're actually breaking down strength and endurance and conditioning, so that they don't actually perform better, they perform worse, and it takes them longer to recover, and so on and so forth. So that's a cycle that you want to avoid. And that's why I think recovery really needs to be one of these processes that's honored as just as important as all of the other aspects of training, and seen as an enabler to and an enhancer of training. So it enhances our performance. If recovery is not enhancing your performance, then you're doing something wrong. If you're not getting stronger each time that you go back to whatever it is that you're doing, perhaps you're just not recovering enough, and perhaps it's not a case of not training hard enough. Perhaps it's just a case that you're not giving your nervous system and your physiology enough time to recover so that it can come back to it and be fitter and stronger when you do come back to it. So there's different recovery for different things. There's recovery for strength training, there's recovery for conditioning, there's recovery for the nervous system if you've been doing complex movement or things that are challenging to the nervous system. So we need to understand that recovery is a process that happens on many levels. It's not just one, you know, broad thing. It's a nuanced conversation. And what is nuanced is often true, and what is simple is often unapplicable, because the world that we live in is complex and it is nuanced, and our body is an extremely complex organism. So if we apply simple rules to a complex organism, what happens? That complex organism fails, or it degenerates, or it degrades, because it's a nuanced and complex organism and it needs nuanced and complex protocols and behaviors in order to thrive. That's a little tangent, but strength training, what does strength, what does the recovery look like for strength training? Well, it means not putting heavy loads of resistance on muscle, because that's what you're doing in strength training. You're putting, you're applying resistance to different muscle groups or to your whole body, ideally. And recovery for that is just literally the opposite, is not putting loads and not putting on resistance. So what I'm trying to integrate into this conversation, recovery does not mean not training. Recovery just means if you are working on something specifically, or you're training for something specifically, or you have trained something specifically, then you can just find different ways to move your body that is not challenging that specific thing that you've been training, so that you still take time to recover and deload or de-stress and realign and reset your body. But it doesn't mean that you're not moving and getting blood flow to the different muscles in order to optimize recovery. So strength training, you know, applying resistance and load. Recovery means finding different ways to move so that you're not applying resistance and load. So an example could be that on a day, you know, if I did a heavy strength training session as an example today, tomorrow doesn't mean I'm just not gonna move at all, because that's not gonna be beneficial to my health. It might mean that I focus on like a skill that doesn't really require much strength, or I go for a walk, or I expose myself to temperature fluctuation, like cold immersion or heat immersion. But I could focus like on vaulting as an example, because that is a great skill that builds up many neurological pathways, that requires coordination and speed and momentum and all these different things, that, and it doesn't really require much strength. That's a great way for me to recover, because now I'm just pivoting and focusing on a different skill. Nervous system, or so conditioning recovery, you know, same thing. What, like, you're challenging a specific kind of area of your fitness. What's something that you can do that's not gonna affect your ability to recover conditioning? If I was to do something that was conditioning based today, what's something I could do tomorrow to still move my body, still increase blood flow, that doesn't challenge conditioning? So I'm not gonna sprint today and then do a high intensity workout tomorrow, for example, because that I wouldn't be giving myself recovery time. So an example could be that I do some sprints today, and tomorrow I might focus more on strength or more on mobility or play or whatever it is. Nervous system recovery, this is a big one. A lot of people miss out on this one. So this is a conversation that really, I guess it does come into the kind of world of high intensity interval training and CrossFit and that kind of world as well, and MoveNap. But it also comes, you know, this is where it really comes in when we're learning skills and capabilities and actually applying them to real world environments, which I'm a big advocate of. So, you know, understanding the learning process and actually learning physical skills, this is where nervous system recovery comes in, as well as when you're pushing your nervous system to a point of stress in high intensity workouts. So the nervous system is like, it organizes our movement and also controls our parasympathetic and sympathetic states within our body, which is, you know, sympathetic is the stress response and parasympathetic is the rest and digest response and the resting response. We want to be spending most of our time in the parasympathetic state. Most people don't, because of the way that our modern world is set up and because the environments that they live in do not cultivate or allow for a healthy kind of parasympathetic dominant way of being. But that's another conversation. But nervous system recovery simply means like, so nervous system conditioning, let's look at that, or nervous system, you know, resistance or putting our nervous system under stress is either something that stresses like our sympathetic nervous system to the edge. So like a high intensity interval training session, or a really big, you know, cold immersion session, or something that really pushes us beyond conditioning and strength and into, you know, into a state of stress and into a state of fight or flight and almost peak performance in many ways. Understanding that we need to recover from that and take some time to allow the nervous system to recover. Or it can be learning a skill. So learning the body, relearning how to organize itself within a movement pattern. So I could learn how to vault as an example, And I learned some basic vaulting movements. I might actually need to take quite a few days off practicing those vaulting movements in order for my body to fully organize those movements better so that when I come back to them, I can perform them better. Even though those vaulting movements aren't really challenging me on a conditioning or strength basis, the learning process is actually speeded up when we give ourselves adequate recovery, just like in those other areas. So I think that's an interesting one that a lot of people don't touch on and is important. Again, recovery does not mean no movement or training. It simply means pivoting and finding different ways to move and live actively and in a biologically appropriate manner so that we can honor our physiology without stressing ourselves repetitively to the point where we degrade a level of fitness, conditioning, or strength, or just maintain it. So we want to enhance performance through recovery. Play is a massive one that I wanted to finish on with today's live. So play is one of those ones that you should integrate or attempt to integrate as much as you possibly can as a form of recovery. So other forms of recovery I'll quickly touch on are like temperature, exposure. So heat immersion, cold immersion, trying to cultivate a parasympathetic state in both of those. Getting around community and socializing, getting around friends and family, sleep, of course, rest, napping, light movement sessions, stretching, walking, and nature exposure. Those are all examples. But play, what I wanted to touch on here is if you can integrate play into your movement practice and into your training, you will recover much, much, much quicker, and you will actually, enhance your performance on a massive level compared to any other form of recovery that I've ever seen, other than sleep, which is obviously massive. But play is one of those things that if you can do it on a regular basis, whereby every, once or twice a week, optimally, you're going out and you're just playing a game that allows you to fully express yourself physically, but brings in a state of mind that is playful rather than competitive, rather than wanting to push, rather than wanting to challenge, but simply creative, playful, and expressive in whatever context you're playing in, that can be really, really beneficial to recovery. Getting out in nature is really, really beneficial to recovery. And sleep is massive in terms of recovery. So getting optimal, 8 hours of sleep, and making sure that that 8 hours minimum is quality sleep. So removing artificial light, removing EMFs from your environment, removing these different stimulants or different things that stimulate your brain to think that it's not in a sleeping state. And if you can really get in that quality sleep, that is going to be massive for recovery. So thank you all so much for tuning into today's live. I hope this was useful. I hope you can apply some of what I've shared with you today. And I will catch you all on the live coaching call next week and also in the videos that I'll be releasing throughout the rest of this course. All right, thank you all for watching. Catch you soon.
All right, thank you all so much for tuning in. I hope you found that helpful and of value and applicable. So if you guys want to and you got value out of this episode, then please take a screenshot and share it on whatever social media platform that you use and tag myself. Let me know your thoughts. Also, if you haven't already, can you please leave a rating and review? It really helps with getting the show out to more people and spreading this message. The show has been growing heaps recently, and I'm really stoked with all the great feedback that I've been getting from different people tuning in from around the world. And yeah, it goes a long way if you guys can do that. Subscribe, share it around to people who you think it will be of value to. So again, thank you all so much for listening in to today's episode. If you want to connect with me, head down to the show notes. There's a link there to my Instagram, to my website, and all the other places that you can find me. Thank you all again, and I'll catch you on the next episode of Move Wild Podcast coming out on Tuesday.